This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This recording is by Mark Smith of Simpsonville, South Carolina. Uncle Remus by Joel Chandler Harris. Chapter 32. Jackie My Lantern. Upon his next visit to Uncle Remus, the little boy was exceedingly anxious to know more about witches, but the old man prudently refrained from exciting the youngster's imagination any further in that direction. Uncle Remus had a board across his lap, and, armed with a mallet and a shoe knife, was engaged in making shoe pegs. "Whiles I was crossing the branch just now," he said, endeavoring to change the subject, "I come up with a Jackie my lantern, and she was burning worse'n a bunch of lightning bugs, mon. I know she was a fixin' for to lead me into that quagmire down in the swamp, and I steered clear of her. Yassir, I did that. You ain't never seen no Jackie my lanterns, is you, honey?" The little boy never had, but he had heard of them, and he wanted to know what they were, and thereupon Uncle Remus proceeded to tell him. "One time," said the old darkey, transferring his spectacles from his nose to the top of his head and leaning his elbows upon his pegboard, "there was a blacksmith man, and this here blacksmith man, he took and stuck closer by his dram than he did by his bellows. Monday morning he'd get on a spree, and all that week he'd be on a spree, and the next Monday morning he'd take a fresh start. By and by, one day, after the blacksmith been spreeing round and cussing mightily, he hear a sort of rustling fuss at the door, and in walked a bad man."
"Who, Uncle Remus?" the little boy asked.
"The bad man, honey. The old boy hisself, right fresh from the religion what you hear Miss Sally reading about. He done hide his horns, and his tail, and his hoof, and he come dress up like white folks. He took off his hat and he bow, and then he tell the blacksmith who he is, and that he done come after him. Then the blacksmith, he begun to cry and beg, and he beg so hard, and he cry so hard, that the bad man say make a trade with him. At the end of 1 year, the spirit of the blacksmith was to be his'n, and during that time, the blacksmith must put in his hottest licks in the interest of the bad man. And then he put a spell on the chair the blacksmith was setting in, and on his sledgehammer. The man would saw it in the chair, couldn't get up less'n the blacksmith let him. And the man would pick up the sludge and had to keep on knocking with it till the blacksmith say quit. And then he give money plenty, and off he put. The blacksmith, he sail in for to have his fun, and he has so much that he clean forgot about his contract. But by and by, one day, he look down the road, and there he see the bad man coming. And then he knew the year was out. When the bad man got in the door, the blacksmith was pounding away at a horseshoe, but he wasn't so busy that he didn't ax him in. The madman sort of do like he ain't got no time for to tarry, but the blacksmith say he got some little jobs that he needs to finish up, and then he ax the bad man for to sit down a minute. And the bad man, he took and sot down, and he sot in that chair what he done conjured on. Course, there he was. Then the blacksmith, he gun to poke fun at the bad man, and he ax him, don't he want a dram? And won't he hitch his cheer up a little nigher to fire? And the bad man, he beg and he beg, which wa'n't doing no good, 'cause the blacksmith vowed that he gwine to keep him in there twill he promised that he'd let him off 1 year more. And sure enough, the bad man promised that if the blacksmith let him up, he'd give him another showing. So then the blacksmith give the word, and the bad man saunter off down the big road, setting traps and laying his proggins for to catch more sinners. The next year, it passed same like the other one,
At the appointed time, here come the old boy after the blacksmith. Well, still, the blacksmith had some jobs and he needs to finish up. And he asked the bad man for to take hold of the sludge and he helped him out. And the bad man, he allowed it rare and be dispolite. He don't care if he do hit her a biff or two. And with that, he grabbed up the sludge and there he was again. Cause he done conjured the sludge so that whomsoever tuck her up can't put her down lest the blacksmith say the word. The palaver there they did, till by and by the bad man he up and let him off another year. Well then, that year passed same as the other one. Month in, month out, that man was rolling and dram. And by and by here come the bad man. Blacksmith cry, and he holler, and he rip round and tear his hair, but hit just like he didn't, cause the bad man grab him up and cram him in a bag and towed him off. Whilst they was going along, they come up with a passel of folks who were having one of these here 4th of July barbecues, and the old boy, he allowed that maybe he can get some more game, and what do we do but join in with him? He lines in, and he talks politics same like the other folks. So by and by dinner time come round, and they ax him up, which agreed with his stomach, and he posited his bag underneath the table alongside the other bags what the hungry folks had brung. No sooner did the blacksmith get back on the ground than he begun to work his way out of the bag. He crope out, he did. And then he took and changed the bag. He took and tucked another bag and laid down where this year bag was, and then he crope out of the crowd and lay low in the underbrush. Last, when the time come for to go, the old boy up with his bag and slung her on his shoulder, and off he put for the bad place. When he got there, he took and dropped the bag off in his back and called up the imps. And they just come squalling and capering, which I expect they must have been hungry. Leastways, they just swarmed round, hollering out, "Daddy, what you brung? Daddy, what you brung?" So then they open up the bag, and lo and behold, out jumped a big bulldog. And the way he shook them little imps was a caution. And he kept on gnawing them till the old boy opened the gate and turned him out. And what became of the blacksmith? The little boy asked as Uncle Remus paused to snuff the candle with his fingers. "I'm driving around, honey. After a long time, the blacksmith he took and died, and when he go to the good place, the man at the gate don't know who he is, and he can't get squeezed in. Then he go down to the bad place and knock. The old boy, he look how he did. He knowed the blacksmith the minute he laid eyes on him, but he shake his head and say, says he, 'You had to excuse me, Brer Blacksmith, 'cause I done had experience longer than you. You'll had to go somewheres else if you want raise any racket,' says he, and with that he shut the door. And they do say," continued Uncle Remus with unction, "that since that day, the blacksmith been sort of hovering round twixt the heavens and the earth, and dark nights he shine out so folks call him Jacky My Lantern. That's what they tells me. It may be wrong, may be right, but that's what I hears." End of tale.